came to realize that what started out as a natural disaster became a man-made disaster.
We cannot control the natural disaster, but what we can do is control our response.
Have you ever wondered whether disasters are actually natural? If so, you're in the right place.
Hello and welcome. My name is Jason von Medding.
And I am Ksenia Chmutina.
This is Disasters Deconstructed, a podcast where we examine why disasters really happen.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, the memories live with you. Yeah, it was. It was a good community spirit, really.
Yeah.
You know, get the photos up, get the things that you can't replace, and everything else, it doesn't matter.
It's a natural disaster, isn't it? But it can be man-made.
Yeah.
And everything else, it doesn't matter.
I just remember it being a very normal day. It won't come in your house, will it? Because that's your castle, isn't it? So.
Documents, photographs, but anything that would be damaged that was mobile, we took upstairs. Yeah. I'm not leaving this.
I'm not being carried out of here.
Hi, I'm Dave Angel, and this is the third and final episode of mine within Disasters Deconstructed by Ksenia and Jason, and I'd like to thank them so much for giving me this opportunity. In this episode, there'll be a lot more sounds to listen to, plus I'll talk a bit about software and creativity within disaster research and within wider social research. Who can do it? How can you make it work? Where do you get your inspiration? And what might be appropriate or not. I'll also talk a bit about some of the lessons that I've learned doing this study. There are quite a few and I'm happy to share them. In addition, there'll be a few more pieces of music around the themes that I've drawn out around flooded people's experiences in Doncaster in the UK. I'll also talk a bit more about the power of music in general. And for another piece in the jigsaw, we'll listen to some feedback from some of the participants. What do they think to the work I've done? And does it work in expressing their experiences? And what can it be used for? I'll also get some feedback from some members of the public from an exhibition I've done as well. So with this first piece, we're back with Sarah, the interviewee who was in a rented property. She was so eloquent, and she summed up her experiences incredibly well. This one is about a common theme that emerged. Under the overarching theme of control is this idea of not being able to stop the water going into the house, and literally having to watch it rise as you work out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out about 6 months after, and I was still finding damp. It was still mouldy, damp, just... Here was where the water started building. And the drains were obviously there. And they got backed up, and literally, hour by hour, I watched it come further and further into my house. Further and further into my house. You know, it was just like, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? You know, it's like when places get flooded abroad, you think, oh, it's not affecting you, is it? So. Further and further into my house. I still don't think that, in some ways, I accept that that actually happened. Because how in the world could that ever happen? Further and further into my house. Further and further into my house. My house.
That was a piece of music that I made up alongside doing the analysis. I'd listened over and over to the interviews and read the transcriptions, and somehow certain things stick in your mind like musical ideas. And when Sarah said, further and further into my house, it seemed to match perfectly with the rhythm of what I'd been playing. Again, it's not a perfect musical example. It's not played to a metronome, and it's a bit of a rough and ready recording, really. But interestingly, I did try several re-recordings, some more precise, some more in tune and so on, but none seem to fit quite so well. It's probably a case of matching the organic or dynamic nature of played or improvised music with the spoken word, which has many similarities. Intuition plays a large part here, as it does in most research.
But it is incredible how in 5 hours... So much can change.
Yeah.
Just, you wouldn't, well, I would never have dreamt that it would happen.
I'll now say a bit about audio software, because some people may be used to using audio software, or some might not. In fact, I think it's pretty easy to use, compared to other programs, such as those for thematic analysis, or even compared to many common word processing programs. Most music packages are fairly user-friendly and quick to pick up. I use Avid Pro Tools, although there are many others, such as Logic or GarageBand. Educational licenses are not expensive, and probably most institutions have copies of software like that. In short, it's an on-screen audio editor, just like Audacity but with multiple channels, and you can drag and drop, edit, put effects on music, record your own sounds. Really, all you need is the software, a few plugins, and a microphone, or a keyboard. And there are whole libraries of sounds available to make your own music or audio canvas.
The house had completely, was just full of water. It's just seeing everything floating around, and we lived basically, lived upstairs.
There's always the question of skill within creative artistic work, but I think everybody is creative in some way, and certainly doing degree work or doctoral work, you've probably got a high level of creativity already, used in various ways. Very few decisions that you make in qualitative work are simple yes or no's. Plus, artistic work has a whole range of output options. It could be poetry, dance, drama, writing a novel, comic books. There are already lots of those about, but it would be great to get more into disaster research proper. There's always the question of where do you get ideas for creative work? Well, I think it's just the same as getting ideas for academic work, usually from immersing yourself in other people's work and putting your own creative or original spin on it. As I said, everybody is creative. In fact, the book Creativity by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi says that we need three things to be creative: a subject domain, a field of expertise, and an individual's original contribution. So many things that we come up with can be classed as creative in their own right, if they've got some original spark.
But water will get in where water will get in. Grab the photos.
Yeah.
And you also learn that nothing in the house is that important. Water will get in where water will get in.
My work features music and the spoken word, really, and ambient sounds. And I've always been fascinated by that space between spoken word and singing. In fact, there are many examples of pop songs from years ago that were spoken. It was quite a popular format. So the juxtaposition of spoken word and music is nothing new in artistic terms. And to say a bit more about music, it's often described as a universal language, which it is in many ways, although universal probably means worldwide. In contrast to the written word, music flows at its own pace. The listener has to take it in as it arrives. And it's a referential process where you're constantly referring back, but also forwards, what you have heard compared to what's coming up. So it's sort of a tension. And the human ear can pick up amazing levels of detail. Here's an example of that. I've used a lot of rain noise or water noise in these compositions. And generally, it's been well received. I thought it was a bit obvious, but nearly everybody that's heard it thinks it sets the scene well. But from the context, we know it's rain noise. But listen to these examples. That was the sound of the sea, traffic, rain, white noise, all very similar. I think that's a good example of how we ascribe meaning to things that we see or hear, in many cases. So what about future developments of my work? I think these could be podcasts, information services, raising public awareness, environmental campaigns, radio programmes perhaps, educational purposes, or tools for people who struggle with reading. As part of this research project, I've been gathering feedback from participants and from the public about how effective they think audio representation is. For example, does it express people's experience as well? Does it show them in a new perspective? Does it focus the listener? What do people think to the balance of sounds and music and voice? Is there too much of one and not enough of the other? Are the ambient sounds appropriate? So far, the feedback's been positive. Here's a few examples from members of the public and from some participants. They're all mixed up, but you can probably tell which is which by people's responses.
No, I think a lot of it rings true. It does affect you. We both said, didn't we? It certainly broke your love affair with the house, didn't it? Because you can't get away from that thought, will it happen again? Once it's happened once, you know it's possible. Because I remember when we first flooded, you think, oh, it's never going to come in the house. Never has, it won't come in the house. But then when it does, you know, once you know it can happen, you worry it might happen again.
Yeah, it's allowed you to create that tapestry of anxiety, which effectively runs through it, completely anxiety.
And sort of quite old-fashioned as well, that sort of folky element drifting in through their lives, as you know.
It creates, you know, it allows you to do that, use those snippets rather than one person talking continually.
Yeah, and you have a bit of time in between the speech with the just to kind of get it into your head, and then the music, and then you've got time to process each individual thought in between statements.
Acoustic guitar comes in, and that's very calming against all that anxiety and worry that they've got. It holds it all together and allows you to present it in the way you have.
I think people are probably more, it's more accessible for people to listen to something like a podcast, say. So if you wanted to think about impact of flooding or something like that, I think these days people would quite often listen to a podcast more readily than they would read, you know, a lengthy document.
Yeah, I don't read newspapers or, like, I'm the big put the flyer in the bin person, or get halfway through and I think, oh no, can't bother with this. But I found that atmospheric background music and everything is very, well, it just highlights the emotion of it all and the, complements the spoken word well, I would say.
Resonated the most for me was the sound of rain.
The final piece, Fish Are More Important Than My House, just seemed to sum up so many things. We listened to it briefly in the last episode, but here it is in the context of a longer piece of music. I'm not going to explain the details behind this statement. It's fascinating in itself, and you can draw your own conclusions about why it was said.
Important than my house.
But what I can't understand is, I know when I was a little young, they used to dredge that river. They used to dredge that river.
In my opinion, in my thinking is, fish are more important than my house. Mm. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, they don't let us know anything. They don't. They don't keep in touch with us around.
Well, I would say what was in it, yeah. I don't know, because there's obviously were chemicals in it,
yeah.
Fish are more important than my house.
If I try to sum up what I've found about people's experiences of flooding and how it relates to their homes, the main themes that come out are community, resilience, and a desire to keep connected to the home. But overarching this is the theme of control, which filters into everything, be it control over information, control over insurance assessors, control over who or what comes in and out of your house. That's the overarching theme that comes across. And also the fact that people were incredibly welcoming and helpful to me. The next step is to get some more feedback from the people who've participated and to see how the research can be developed and what it can be used for even more. Here are a few sounds to play us out. This has been the last episode and a great opportunity for me, so thank you for listening. And thanks to Ksenia and Jason, and Disasters Deconstructed.
Well, I think he's probably saying that because the fish, it's their environment, and to him, it's more important that, you know, than his house. That's how he feels.
And everything else, it doesn't matter.
You're flooding with something that very occasionally happened to somebody else.
Well, thank you all for being with us today. And before you go, a few quick reminders about how you can stay connected with the podcast.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DisastersDecon.
The podcast is available on all the major platforms. Please download, share, and most importantly, subscribe.
And if you haven't already done this, we really appreciate your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. This will help us to continue making content for you.
You've been listening to Disasters Deconstructed. And don't forget, disasters are not natural. See you next time.